I would let you go after this, but you know, the word is for tonight. Amen. And I don't want to miss nothing that the Lord have for us. Also, by way of announcements, amen. Love, we got any announcements? Okay, so we'll be praying this Thursday, and after prayer, we'll have a meal, amen, brought to you by Royal Title, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. If you're buying a house, come see your boy, you know what I'm saying? Come see your boy. Hallelujah. That should be a slogan, huh? Come see your boy. Come check your boy. Holler at your boy. So anything else, pretty? All right, so let's look at Hebrews 11, and I'm going to start reading, amen, at verse 10. And we'll try to end up around verse 16, but if you could just follow, and I'm going to try to make it brief on the recap and stuff. The Bible says, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. God, we thank you for your word. Out of blessings of the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of it, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Saints of God, amen. Last time we were here, we talked about verse 10, and we talked about our heavenly home. And we went through, amen, that we had a prepared place for us, a permanent place for us, and a perfect place for us. And we just kind of went through that, amen. In 11 and 12, amen, the writer of Hebrews kind of goes on another tangent of faith, amen, going from the eternal back to the physical, back to the natural, amen. And I'm going to skip these verses right here, 11 and 12. And I'm just going to skip them temporarily, amen, because, hallelujah, I've been assigned to be one of the speakers at the women's conference, amen, hallelujah. And so God, as I was studying, amen, he gave me a fire word out of 11 and 12. And I was ready to preach it tonight. But God said, he said, nah. He said, the daughters of Sarah got to hear about Sarah's faith. Amen. And he wanted me to preach a message at the women's conference. Amen. Hallelujah. How God worked a miracle out of a situation that was as good as dead. A miracle out of a situation that was as good as dead. Amen. So I got the word already for women's conference. Amen. And really and truly, I'm very rarely this early on a word. So it's going to be, hallelujah. Y'all come on and sign up. Those that's even out of town. When is the women's conference? February 28th. And 29th, amen. And we'll be having it at this location, and I think we'll be splitting off on the other location as well. But 11 and 12, we're going to save, amen, for the women's conference. Come on, give God some glory, amen. So let's look at 13, and I'm going to pick up. And it's ironic because he go off in the eternal, Brother James, and then 11 and 12, he go back to the natural. But then in 13, he go right back to the eternal. Amen. So we just going to take 11 and 12 out, and we're going to stay in the spiritual, stay in the eternal. And I believe that that's where God wants us tonight. Amen. And you'll see more about why it's rhema here in a second. Amen. So let's begin in verse 13. I'm not going to have any points. We're just going to flow, Brother Brent. We're just going to roll with the verse, with the text. Amen. And we're going to get out of here. Amen. At a reasonable time. I just say reasonable. That's all I'm saying. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This verse right here starts off, these all died in faith. When the writer of Hebrews is saying these all, he's talking about, amen, the heroes of faith that he just covered. He's talking about, amen, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, because she's being covered right here too. The writer of Hebrews is taking a break and he's saying all of these heroes, they died in faith. Amen. And this phrase, died in faith, is a very, very strong phrase right here. And it means a lot. And I believe that tonight God wants us to talk about it and get everything that we can out of it. Because at the end of the day, we all want this. We want to die in faith. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, you just don't want to live by faith. You just don't want to walk by faith. But listen to me now. It's important to even do what? Die in faith. All right? All right? So we'll talk about that a little bit and what it means on the different levels. Because it's level. That's what it is. It's different levels of this phrase. All right? Matthew Henry says, primarily, this means that the patriarchs, the heroes of faith, they died, y'all, believing. They died fully persuaded. They died, amen, persuaded that the promises that God made to them would be fulfilled to them or to their descendants that's coming after them. All right? That the promises would be fulfilled to them or to their descendants that would come after them. You see? I'm here to tell you that some of the promises God makes to you are so big, they're bigger than your lifetime. Did you hear that just now? Did you hear that? Because, you know, I pray for some big things, amen. And God got some big things for me, and he got some big things for you, amen. But your life is not big enough to contain the overflow of blessing that God have for you. And I'm going to tell you, that's Sarah and Abraham, all right? As I'm going through, amen, 11 and 12, I saw a blessing that was bigger than the life of Sarah. I saw a blessing that kept going in her seed and her seed. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So sometimes God's blessing is bigger than your lifetime, all right? Sometimes the blessing that God has for you, amen, is so big, all right? It starts with you. It starts with you and operates while you're alive and you enjoying it and amen. But realize that he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, hope, or imagine. And so you praying for one thing for you, but God say, I'm going to throw your children in it too. And I'm going to throw your children's children in it too. Not only will you be blessed, come on, but you're going to be a blessing. You got to understand how big our God is. You see what I'm saying? And so the blessing is so big that it starts while you're alive, but it finishes on your children and your children's children. And that's what it means when it says, amen, that these all of the patriarchs, they died in faith. They were still believing on God to accomplish some things. For example, Abraham was believing on God for giving us the land. He didn't see the full revelation of that, but it came to pass after he was gone. For instance, he told Abraham and Sarah, he said, listen, you're going to be the father of many nations and kings going to come out your loins. And they didn't see that. All they saw was Isaac. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe saw a little person after Isaac, Jacob, you know what I'm saying? If they was lucky. But you see what I'm saying? You passing away does not extinguish the promise that God made you. Anybody hear me up in here? Woo! It says, these all died in faith. Watch this. In 13, it says, not having received the promises. All right? They didn't receive all that God told them they was going to give them. They didn't receive it. And it wasn't that God broke his promise. No, the promise was just that big, Quentin. It was just that big. There was no way they would see their seed as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. But they would see the start of that. You see what I'm saying? And so, but the thing is, not having received the promise, but watch this. But having seen them afar off. Afar off. This is a beautiful thing. You see? Some things Abraham did not receive in his lifetime. But he saw them afar off. How did he see them? By faith. He saw them with eyes of faith. He knew that if God said it, that settles it. And it don't matter if I get it in my lifetime, I know whom I have believed in. And know that he is able and faithful to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's seen it from afar. And the Bible says here in 13, watch this. And they were persuaded of these promises. And they embraced these promises. It reminds me of Joseph, y'all. You know, Joseph heard from Abraham, who told Isaac, who told Jacob, Joseph's father, that they would be in the land somewhere around 400 years. But God told Abraham in that vision, they're going to come back to the land of Canaan after their captivity. Anybody hear me up in here? So Joseph believed that Abraham heard God. And he believed the promise of God. And by the time Joseph was in Egypt, and he knew the time was coming, but he wouldn't see the time, before he died being persuaded of the promise and embracing the promise that they would go back to the promised land, he told all the elders of Israel, I might not see the promised land. I might not get there. But that does not extinguish the promise that God made our people. So when you get ready to go back to the promised land, as a token of my faith, I'm going to tell you where I'm buried. You go get my bones and bury them in the land of promise, because I know we won't be here long. Amen. This is what this text is all about. You see, Joseph died in faith. He died believing the promise of God. He died knowing that even though he would close his eyes, there were some things that God was still going to do on his behalf. He said, take my bones with you. You know what I'm saying? These all died in faith. You see, Philadelphia, you got to be able to see the world after you're gone. You see, we just living for the here and now. What we going to eat for dinner? And what we gonna wear tomorrow. You see, but people of faith don't just live for today and tomorrow. And they don't even live just for their lifetime. They can see beyond the 60, 70 years that they gonna live on earth. And so they not only see beyond their lifetime, they pray beyond their lifetime. They sow beyond their lifetime so that they can receive the blessings of God beyond their lifetime. You got to give God some glory up in here. I'm preaching some other stuff. I'm preaching some legacy. Amen. Some children, great grandchildren type of stuff. That's how Abraham them lived. You see, that's how they lived. You see, they died in faith. You see, we got to begin to pray prayers for after you're gone. We got to begin to sow seed for after we're gone. We got to begin to make plans, y'all, and preparations for after we gone. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. All right. You see, David, we talking about David, you know, on Sundays. You see, David was one who could see beyond his lifetime. He was one that had faith, amen, that even after he would pass away, he would still work for God and do things for God. You see? You see, David wanted to build God a house. But God told him, David, you're not going to build me no house, but your son going to build me a house. Anybody hear me up in here? David heard the voice of God, and he trusted in that. And David said, I might not build it, but my son going to build it. But I'm going to provide every single thing for my son to build that house. I'm going to leave him the gold. I'm going to leave him the silver. I'm going to make the contracts with different supplies and lumber yards. I'm going to get the cedar from Lebanon. I'm going to get the ships ready to go get the gold. Listen, David had it all set up. And I heard one commentator say, we give Solomon all the glory for the temple. But it was his daddy who died before him that made the preparation for the promise he saw that God was about to fulfill after he was gone. Are you hearing me up in here? You see, David died in faith. He died believing God for a promise. You see? You see, I'm telling you, man, when I look at this text, I wish I had some saints in here. Or even some saints, amen, listening live stream or YouTubing. Some saints that would say, I'm going to live in faith, and guess what? I'm going to die in faith. I know we the people, and I know that God is moving on our behalf. I don't really know exactly when we gonna go back to where we came from, but I know his promise still stands, and great is his faithfulness, and I know that I'm gonna go, amen. I need some saints with some faith beyond their lifetime. Some saints that would tell me, Pastor, take my bones. Don't you bury me in this second Egypt. Take my bones with you. Bury me in our land. Bury me in the land of our forefathers. I wish we had some saints that, amen, and I'm believing we're going to get that in our lifetime, but I'm just saying, I wish we had some saints that had faith that could see beyond their lifetime. Listen, the mother folks do it, Jack. The mother folks sow seed beyond their lifetime. Listen, let me share it with you. I don't care about it. I'm going to share it with you. Because them folk doing it, that's why their church is blessed. But our folk ain't doing it. That's why our church not as blessed as it could be. See, some folk know that they're not going to be around for the fulfillment of the movement. What they do in the Gentile church, the Roman churches, they pass away and leave houses. They pass away and leave property. They mess around, leave the ministry that was ministering to them, the church, the movement that they believed in. They mess around, leave it in the will. They mess around, take out a policy just for it. Listen, I might not be around, but listen, my name going to be honored. Y'all going to remember me because I got faith beyond my lifetime. Anybody with ears, hear what I'm saying here tonight. Because, Mike, listen, the Roman church do it, yeah. Oh, yeah. They people leave them stuff. They leave them house. They leave them land. They write them in the policies. What's wrong with our people? You don't have faith enough to see that God going to still move after you're gone? Oh, you ain't. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. I'm saying it. And guess what? I don't care that I'm saying it. You're going to get blessed for it. You know what I'm saying? They died in faith. And that's how we should do, y'all. We should die in faith. Believe in the promises of God. But not only that. This died in faith not only means to die on the specific promises of God to you in the natural and in the physical, but this die in faith more so even applies to the eternal, y'all, to the eternal. You know, I'm talking about heaven, y'all. You want to die in faith, just not believing promises for you and your children and your family, but believe in the gospel. You don't want to sit in church and hear the gospel every Sunday, every Tuesday, amen, and then when you close your eyes, you done drop the baton or something. You know, find yourself falling back. He said, these all died what? They died in faith. They never let go of God. They never let go of his son. They never let go of the Savior. I have in my notes that these never stop believing. You see? And that's my prayer for you today. That's my prayer for our church. That we wouldn't lose a single one to the world. That we would never stop believing. that if one of us had to do one of our funerals, amen, this would be our testimony over you. They died in faith. They died in faith. You see? They died in faith. They never stopped believing that this world was in their home. Look at 13 again. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. Watch this. This is eternal. That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world was in their home. And I'm going to stop because I'm going to get back to that. But let me flow in the spirit for a second. You see? You see, last Sunday while we was in church, amen, Kobe Bryant was in a helicopter crash. You see? 41 years old. Him and his 13-year-old daughter died. I got some pictures, sound booth, if y'all can. And let me tell you something. When it happened, it shook the world. You see what I'm saying? It shook me. You know? And a lot of people was weeping and crying and they was taking it hard, man. And for a moment, Kobe's passing reminded the world of mortality. Of mortality. And Tyrone, they won't give me the preacher's funeral, but if I had to preach Kobe's funeral, I might entitle that, that might be the title, if I had to preach Kobe's funeral. You see, this is a golden ticket right here. Because it touched the hearts of every man, every woman, every child, that some of them don't even like basketball, and they, oh God, Kobe. You see? And I'm going to tell you why. It's a young man. In good shape. Athlete. You see? Got money. Got fame. Even after basketball, became a tremendous investor and entrepreneur. You see? But when we woke up that Sunday morning, everything had changed. We saw somebody who appeared to have it all, y'all. I'm talking about the NBA titles, Tyrone. And he was gone. Like, and all the other athletes took it. I'm devastated, they were saying. I'm shook. I don't know what to say. I don't have no words. You know why they don't have no words? Because sometimes humans forget their mortality. We forget that we subject to death, that we only here temporary, that this world is not our home, that we only strangers and we only pilgrims and we only passing through, and sometimes we can get too comfortable. If I had to preach Kobe's funeral, that's what I would talk about. Anybody hear me up in here? It would be such an opportunity to wake the people of Yah. Because all of them got their attention. All of them thinking about, Lord, if that happened to me. And my question is, amen, if Kobe can go like this, so can you. And my question to you is, would you die in faith? Would you die in faith? Would you die in faith? Because these all done died in faith. Would you die in faith? And I'm not here to judge Kobe. I don't know his personal walk with the Lord. And that's not my concern tonight. My concern is your walk with the Lord. And if you would die in faith. I don't have time, but there's video out there. We maybe might, we'll see if we have time, but don't cue it right now. But there's video out there of Kobe confessing a faith. Of going through struggle and talking about the cross. You see what I'm saying? Of him, amen, he had left church that morning right before the accident. Now, it wasn't the church of my choice, but you can still get saved in a place that's not ideal if the Lord put his hand on you, is what I'm saying. Come on, come on, play the clip now. Play the clip. Play the clip. We're going to just play the clip.
But what did you learn from that whole experience? Just having to go through what you went through.
God is great.
God is great.
Isn't that simple?
God is great. Don't get no simpler than that, bro.
Did you know that? I mean, everybody knows that, but the way you know it now, did you know it before that incident took place?
You can know it all you want, but until you got to pick up that cross that you can't carry, and he picks it up for you and carries you and the cross, then you know.
Then you know, baby. Come on, give God some glory. See, Kobad went through a tough time. And sometimes, amen, you could have it all and still need God. And Kobe said, amen, you know, you could know about him and his cross. He said, but when you go through and he pick up that cross and he carry you and the cross to get you through. Kobe said, oh, yeah, now you know. But you see, Kobe, amen, is already with the Lord. But we got some here and some that's listening and that's not. And the question for you is, if life is brief like this, if life is fragile like this, if one moment you could be here and the next, you listen, oh God, he just said went to church that morning. Would you die in faith? In faith in Yahshua Jesus Christ. Hebrews, these things don't happen in our community for nothing. This is a wake-up call. If I had to preach Kobe's funeral, listen, I would tell our people, look, a great man has passed. A prince in Israel has gone on according to 2 Samuel 3 and 38. We've lost a prince here. They lose their lives. We are subject to the same loss of life. Would you be ready if your day came? Would you be ready if your night was tonight? Have you made peace with your maker? Have you come back to Yahshua? Have you called on Jesus? I'm about to go to another point, but listen. Here it is. God don't need your good works. He don't need your good looks. And he don't need your money. All he needs for you to do is admit that you were a sinner. And believe that he loves you. And he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And after you believe that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, you confess that he's your Lord. And you call upon him in the time in which he may be found. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart in the day of provocation. Because you don't know if you're going to hear his voice again. Call upon him. Call upon him. It's easy. You just say, Lord, save me a sinner and forgive me of all my sins. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know who's going to preach Kobe's funeral. I don't know what kind of church it's going to be in. But that would be the way I preach this funeral in Jesus' name. Come on, give y'all some glory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People of Yah, Israel. Come back to your God. And time is running short. You see? We got to learn how to die in faith. You see? But I want to talk to believers before we go for a second. Amen? And as a believer, amen, I want to go deeper into this. I want to challenge you to die in faith when your time comes. I don't want you to die in fear. I don't want you to pass on in failure. I don't want you to be afraid and all like, nah. You see, the believers in the age we're living in are too worldly. We forgot that this place is not our home. We do good over here. We start businesses. We live good lives. We have families. But don't get it twisted for one second. Verse 13 said, we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that we seek another country, baby. We got a whole nother place that we going to. Don't you get too comfortable here. You see what I'm saying? We want you to be in a place, amen, where you could say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Paul, writing one of his last books, amen, talking to Timothy, amen, begins to talk about death. Hallelujah. And as soon as Soundboot put that up, we're going to read that. 2 Timothy, amen, hallelujah. If you froze, just say you froze. And I'm going to turn to it. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. 2 Timothy, oh, thank you, Lord. In 2 Timothy and 4, starting in verse 6, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. You see his view of passing away? Paul said, I'm ready. You see, we so worldly, we ain't never ready. Be 102, still fighting to try to keep it. See, when you know where you're going, when you're dying in faith, when you believe that to be at, oh God, you got a whole different take, y'all. You see, the believer's deathbed should be your finest hour. It should be your finest hour. If you're going to die in faith. Don't let your children come around that and watch you. Watch you go through like you don't believe that you're going to a better place. And I'm not speaking that on nobody in here, but we don't get to talk about that. But you're going to need to learn that. You need to learn not only how to live in faith, but what? How to die in faith. You better know. You better know. That could be one of your greatest testimonies, greatest witnesses, greater than all the time that you've been alive. You mess around like Samson, die right and do more damage to the enemy's kingdom than you're in your death, than in your whole life. If you know, woo! How to die in faith. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is what? Is at hand. He said in verse 7, watch this. He said, I have fought the good fight. Oh, Mike, that's what we want to say, man. Come on, somebody. I have fought the good fight. I have what? I have finished my course. Oh, watch this now. Watch this. And I have what? I have kept the faith. Listen to me, man. That's all I'm asking you to do tonight. That's all I'm asking you to do tonight. To stay believing him. From this moment to the moment you close your eyes. You believe every promise. And you believe that gospel. And you believe that there's a heaven. You believe that there's a Savior waiting for you. You die in faith. You see what I'm saying? I know it ain't a shouting message. But I pray he write it on your heart. So that when your time come, it be your finest hour. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. We don't die afraid. We don't die as cowards. We don't die as though somehow we don't know what's on the other side. We die like people that's going home. We die like people that's been away for a long time, but finally we going home. Listen, we're not eluding it. We expecting it. We're not avoiding it. We're looking at it like an achievement. You see what else? That's what Paul is talking about right there. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, henceforth there's laid up for me a what? A crown. Baby, I don't want to be down here with all this dusty stuff. I'm going to get my crown. A crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, Paul says, but unto all them that also love his appearing. You see, the problem with the church, they don't love his appearing. They won't stay down here. They won't stay down here with Fords and Chevrolets. Anybody hear me up in here? They don't love his appearing. But you see, that wasn't Paul's heart. Watch this. Watch this. That wasn't Paul's heart. You see what I'm saying? In Philippians 1:21, watch what Paul said. Watch what Paul said. You see what I'm saying? You see, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. We all focus on that part of the scripture. Oh, yeah, to me, living is Christ. My whole life is just Christ. I drink Christ, eat Christ. I breathe Christ. Everything is Christ. But we miss the B part of the scripture because we don't even like to talk about that. But this is the way Paul looked at his passing away. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. When I go, I get something because I know where I'm going. I'm going to a better place. I'm going to a better home. Don't grieve for me like you're grieving for somebody that's on their way to hell. It's a celebration time. Woo! Oh, yeah, I'm pastoring, bro. I'm pastoring because they got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't want you to shame your God. And I don't know when else to tell you, but when it come up in the scripture. So don't shame your God. Don't get up there under them doctors or on that deadbed like you don't believe. Don't you do that. Don't you shame your God. You see? Look what he say. To die is gain. Paul say, man, look, it's better to go. 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Paul saying, yeah, I'm living in the flesh and I get to work with y'all. He said, but I don't know what I'm going to choose. Let's keep going. He said, 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm in a rock and a hard place. Paul, what it is? He said, having a desire to depart, to be with who? With Christ. Which is far what? Yes. You see, we ain't got that heart right now. Church ain't got that heart right now. And that's how you can know you're worldly. That's how you can know the church is worldly. When you want to be here, worse than you want to be there. He says in 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I realize that me being here is more helpful to y'all, Paul says. So I'm going to try to stick around a little while, Paul says. But in 25, look what he says. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Go to 26. I'm going to stick around, he say, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. All right. Brent, I got another text. 2 Corinthians. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Amen. Go to that one. So Paul's saying, man, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7. You see? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8. We are confident, I say. And watch this. Willing, rather, to be absent from the body. Why? So we can be what? Present with the Lord. Come on, give y'all some glory up in here. Yeah. Sometimes we could live on earth so long we get comfortable with it. And this place is really not our home. You see what I'm saying here? When we go back to the scriptures, amen, in verse 15 and 16, he says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And I might cover that one next to us. I love that one. Amen. But 16, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. You see, we don't want to make God ashamed to be our God. That's why it's important for us to die in faith. He is, he done prepared a whole city for us. Streets of gold and no more sickness and no more sorrow. And we fighting to stay in a place where it's nothing but sickness and sorrow and pain and disease. I heard, amen, and I'm going to go and read it. I heard that, amen, Lois Evans, amen, right before she passed, Tony say she described a glimpse of heaven. She saw it. She saw it. She saw it. You see? And we always want to die in faith. We want to live in faith, and we want to die in faith. You know? We strangers and pilgrims here. And so if we look at our scripture, watch this. He says, not having seen the promises, that's heaven in the celestial city, but by faith having seen them from afar, that we would be fully persuaded of them, embracing the promises of where we're going, confessing them, that this world is not our final resting place. Indeed, we seek a better country. We seek a city that's been prepared for us by God. Let's have a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Father, we thank you so much that we can talk about some tough topics, God. And I praise you for the people of God being here tonight. And Lord, not that we speak in anything on anybody that's over here, but without proper instruction, we wouldn't know how to act or where to go or what to do. We pray, God, that all the soldiers in Philadelphia would honor you, God. That we'd honor you in life and that we would honor you in death. We pray, God, that we would be like Paul and say, to live is Christ. But we would always know that to die is gain. We pray, oh God, that you would bless us, oh King, to know that all of your promises you made to us, whether we hear or not, they're going to be fulfilled, oh Daddy. That you're going to have your way. And Father, we pray that all those who don't know you in this place, all those that don't know you that's listening, oh King, that they would be reminded, amen, every day of our own mortality, and that they would call upon you and be saved. For if we are not saved, truly, death is a terrifying thing. For it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we thank you so much that with Christ, there is peace. There is peace. There is peace within ourselves, peace with man, but most importantly, there is peace with God. So, Father, save him. Save him. Save him. That when our time comes, O King, it'll be our finest hour, and we will all die in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! I know it's a weird word, but I love this word. I love this word. I love this word. I love this word. Everything for us from the cradle all the way to the grave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's have some altar time. Ushers, open up the altar. If you've been afraid,
for my mother is waiting.
You've been holding too much on to this life.
For her child.